The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With me, I'm just trying my best to stay positive just because, like, the world is crazy. And we don't need to let, you know, the craziness, you know, consume us, man. It's like, you got to stay positive. You got to keep pushing. Like, whatever your inspirations are, you know, like, if it's a goal, if it's your kids, if it's, you know, family, you know, whatever it is, you got to keep pushing.
Stand by.
3, 2, 1.
The following program comes from executive producer Lillian Garcia.
Every athlete is on this quest. Every performer dives in
head first,
battling real life challenges and overcoming obstacles in an effort to make their dreams reality. Singer, speaker, and 15-year WWE host Lillian Garcia was the first woman to ever announce WrestleMania
and is now the PFL MMA cage announcer.
Oh, yeah!
And now she's giving you an all-access pass to the human interest stories of elite athletes,
extraordinary entertainers, and wellness experts.
Now, let's embark on another fascinating journey
of chasing glory
with your host, Lillian Garcia.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chasing Glory. I am Lillian Garcia, and I am in a much better place than I was last week. If you heard the episode with Drew McIntyre, which, by the way, I highly recommend. I thought it was really, really good because he's just so inspiring. But if you heard the intro, you saw that I was very emotional. I was going through a lot, especially with the losses at WWE and Howard Finkel and all. But it is a new week. And I've told you guys it's important to definitely share your emotions and have feelings. And guys out there, we'll talk about this even with Heath, my guest today. That's right, Heath Slater. Woohoo, so excited. But we do talk about the fact that it's okay for guys to show their emotions and show their vulnerability. But this emotion, this week, I'm super happy. I'm on a higher note. So I'm going to ride off that higher note. And it's really not anything specific that I've done, but kind of like a lot of little things that I've done. I've surrounded myself with much less news, okay? So I'm surrounding myself with shows that I really have a lot of fun watching and I'm learning from. Some of them are documentaries and some of them are just pure Disney fun. So I'm just kind of engulfing in that in the evenings. And then during the day, reading good books. I'm also working hard here on Chasing Glory. That always gets me very inspired, doing different interviews. I'm having a lot of Zoom calls with friends and family, and all of those things I'm allowing to help build me up. And another thing, I don't want to forget to tell you guys about this because I discovered this game that is so much fun. It's a puzzle game and it's so easy. So you don't have to be a gamer, thank God, because I'm not a gamer. I wish I was. Maybe many years ago, I was playing games, but nowadays I don't play a lot of games. And some of them do intimidate me, but this one did not. So when I started playing it, it was making me so happy and giggly and just, let me just tell you about it because that way you guys can see what the heck I'm talking about and that way you guys can do it too. It's called Best Fiends. So I've just recently found out about this, but this has been around for a little while and it's got over 100 million downloads, a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game. Like, that's pretty cool to be 5 stars. So I like it because it's super easy right from the very, very beginning. They tell you exactly how to play the game, and then you go up in levels. Now, I'm on level 42. I just started playing not long ago, but I've got all of these guys here. They're my fiends, and they're my teammates, and we go and we try to get the slugs. All right, so it is super easy, casual game, but there is a strategy to it. So it, like I said, it's a puzzle game as well. So you can engage your brain with this fun puzzle game. You can download Best Fiends for free, as a matter of fact, through your Apple App Store or also Google Play. So that's pretty cool, the fact that you can download it for free. And of course, don't make the mistake, that's Best Friends without the R, Best Fiends. So I want to let you guys know about that just in case you're stressing out at home or you're just looking for something to do besides scrolling through more Instagram photos, right? And you want to engage your brain, Best Fiends. And this helped me and my mood as well. So whenever I get a little down, I just go to my friends, Best Fiends. It's so cute. All right, so another thing that really has helped me is having this conversation with Heath Slater. Man, he's just awesome. If you heard last week, and if, of course, you've listened to some of the news that has come out, he was released with the WWE. And when I did my interview with Drew McIntyre and we talked about Heath, and that was before he'd gotten released, I definitely wanted to reach out to him. Of course, you know, talk about the release and all. But then I was like, man, I know people are going to want to hear from you. And the fact that I just had Drew and then you can come the week after, I just think it's the perfect combination to have Drew and then have Heath. And I was right. You guys are going to love this interview, especially because you're hearing from someone that just got released from this whole pandemic economic situation that's going on, which a lot of you are experiencing. I'm experiencing in another whole way. Everything that I had has been canceled. I just found out recently that the PFL for me as well, this entire year has been canceled. So super sad about that. And it's just another thing that I'm definitely having to deal with. But I'm trying to look at the bright side as to what I do have the show, okay? I've got you guys, I've got IG Lives. There's things that we still have in our lives. So let's focus on that. And Heath is also going to help with his story. And he opens up about two major things he said he's never talked about before. So what do you say? Guys, don't forget to follow the show at Chase and Glory. Follow me at Lillian Garcia. And then of course, Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook and youtube.com/Lillian Garcia. Okay, before we get to the interview, want to let you know, Heath is living a little bit in the boondocks. His internet connection is not great. So any of you that are watching this show, just know that the lips sometimes are not going to match the voice. But look, it was better than nothing, right? Any of you that are listening to it, you're not going to even hear any difference. So, all right, without further ado, here we go. Here is Heath Slater's journey of chasing glory. Hailing from West Virginia, Heath Slater has been hooked on pro wrestling since the age of 6 after his grandfather got him interested. Growing up, he played basketball and even played in college. But when that journey ended, the pursuit of his passion began. Heath competed as a backyard wrestler, but eventually convinced his mom to let him move to Atlanta, Georgia, to properly train to be a pro wrestler. Trained by former WWE and WCW superstar Mr. Hughes, Heath wrestled for various Southeastern independent promotions and even appeared on the sketch comedy show Blue Collar TV alongside comedians Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy. In late 2006, Heath caught the eye of the WWE officials and would sign a contract where they reported him to the developmental territory Deep South Wrestling and soon after, the brand new Florida Championship Wrestling. He gained massive success in FCW, winning both the Tag Team Championship as well as the FCW Heavyweight title, and he transitioned that success into being one of the 8 selected to take part in the inaugural competition season of NXT. Although he didn't win the competition, he immediately made an impact alongside his fellow contestants and had one of the most impactful memories in the history of Monday Night Raw when they destroyed the ring area and became known as the Nexus. He soon achieved tag team success, winning the tag team titles twice with fellow member Justin Gabriel. He would eventually break off after being a follower in groups like The Nexus and The Core, and decided to form his own group alongside the future world champions Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre, and called it 3MB. They quickly became the bright spot on any show and became a force to be reckoned with in the tag team division. However, Heath would find himself going solo after Mahal and McIntyre were both released from their contracts, but not for too long, as he formed the Social Outcast, which led them to co-star in the Marine 5 Battleground. The Outcasts were disbanded after the 2016 WWE Draft, where Heath became the only person that wasn't drafted to Raw or SmackDown. After becoming a coveted free agent, he eventually won a contract with SmackDown Live, where he teamed up with Rhino and they became the first ever SmackDown Tag Team Champions. He would continue to be a very entertaining figure in the company, winning the 24/7 championship. But after a 14-year tenure, he was recently released from his WWE contract due to the coronavirus pandemic economic situation. However, Heath vows it will not keep him down, and he will continue to push forward in his already successful career. Get fired up, as it's about to get real, raw, and inspiring with Heath Slater. All right, Heath Slater's in the house. That means it's party time. Dude.
All the time.
I've got my rock on shirt.
I love it.
My rock band. Rock band.
Rock bands. He said rock on.
Rock on with the rock band shirt.
There it is.
Just for you. Do you know that this thing has been in my closet forever? And I've been like, should I wear this? No, should I wear this? And I've been like, damn it, I want to wear it.
There you go, man. Perfect time. It looks good on you, too.
I was waiting for you, buddy. Yeah. Thanks.
I love it.
Dude, I wanted to do this interview with you since I started the show back in 2017.
I remember you asked me in 2017, and then it was just so much going on where it never happened.
Yeah, and I know, but I always say timing is everything.
That's true.
And I think that even the timing now, after being released, is even a more perfect timing, because a lot of people want to hear from you. Yeah, and fine. There's a lot of people right now with this pandemic that are in the same exact boat as you, have lost their jobs, want to use it as a time to get depressed and give up. And you instead posted something so inspiring and so inspirational as far as you saying, this is my time for Heath 2.0, Act 2.
Of course it is. I mean, that's, like I said, that's whoever you are. But it's one of those things of like, you can either let it get you down, or you can just keep trying, keep pushing, keep moving, you know? And it's like one of those things, like, I'm not a quitter. So it's one, like, it's crazy with me, because like in wrestling, the people is everything, you know? I mean, they're everything. Like, and if we can't go to a venue and perform with the crowd and everything, it's just one of those things where like, it doesn't happen for where I'm at now, like going to the Indies or going to Japan or, you know, wherever I would like to, you know, do. But it's one of those things where like, you just can't let it get you down, because then, you know, if you let it get to you, it's going to mess with you physically. It's going to mess with you mentally. And like with me, I'm just trying my best to stay positive, just because like the world is crazy and we don't need to let, you know, the craziness, you know, consume us, man. It's like, you got to stay positive, you got to keep pushing, like whatever your inspirations are, you know, like if it's a goal, if it's your kids, if it's, you know, family, you know, whatever it is, you got to keep pushing.
That's one thing about you. I've always seen you have such a positive attitude. That is one thing that people love, your energy. They love to be around you. You in a way remind me of Santino Marella.
That's my buddy.
Right?
Yeah, we get along so well. And I love just being like that too, just goofy, having a good time. It's always good. You know, I've always been that guy who'd rather smile than cry. So it's like, I don't know. And I've always been goofy as hell, like ever since I was a kid. I was, you know, class clown in the yearbook and, you know, and all that stuff, you know, so I don't even know where I got it from. I don't know. It's just something.
Oh, that's my favorite thing is trying to dissect things. I love it.
Yeah.
I love to find out where things, you know, and the connecting the dots. First of all, I want to give a heads up. I realize that there's a little bit of a hesitation as far as your video and audio, but you're in the boonies. Are you in South Carolina right now?
I am in South Carolina, actually. Yeah.
Do you know that I lived in Columbia for 16 years?
Oh, really? Okay. I mean, that's probably about an hour and a half from me.
Yeah. How did we not know that about each other?
No idea. I would say we should have brought that up in conversation over the many ones that we had, but yeah,
how long have you
know now.
Been in South Carolina?
Well, after I got on the road with WWE, it was pretty much, they said, you know, go wherever you want. You can live wherever you want. Just be by, you know, an international airport. So once me and Steph had our first kid, Roz, it was one of those things that we're like, we don't have to stay in Florida just because the school's there and everything. And I'm not even, you know, going to developmental anymore. So we wanted a half happy medium in between our families, just so, you know, I mean, it's always good, you know, to have family close by and all that.
Yeah.
So we moved to Charlotte first for about 3 years, and then everyone's like, why in the world did you move to Charlotte? You know, move to Fort Mill. The school districts are amazing, you know. So I moved to Fort Mill. So now I'm kind of in the boonies. Got a good view, but I'm a country boy anyway, so I like it.
Yeah, I can tell, though, with the Wi-Fi, it's a little, but I would have this. I would much rather have this than nothing at all. Man, dude, I've been trying to get this interview forever. But, I mean, I've always announced you from Pineville, West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, born and raised there. 18 years of my life, man. That's where my roots are still deep. I mean, I go back, and it's one of those things where, like, I'll drive around the town just to reminisce, because I mean, honestly, not much has changed at all since I left there. And it's like the same people own the same little stores, and, you know, the little Rite Aid there, that's the Walgreens now, like the manager's been there ever since I was a kid, to where I'm just like walking in, talking to him, like, you know, never like skip the beat and stuff, you know.
Okay,
I need to go back up there and visit. It's been a little while.
I would, though, I don't know that I would do it now. Well, obviously, probably now. But even if you could, it'd almost be probably a little sad, because I did that not too far from me. Just taking the dog out, I was like, you know what? I just want to walk a little further and go to this little, you know, the street where all these shops were open, and now they're all closed, and it's so depressing.
That's sad. It really is sad.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to remember the good times.
You know, this is going to make us appreciate this. We were taking a lot for granted. I really feel like in life, we were taking a lot for granted. Even, you know, as much as we love our fans, but even the travel, the hustle, the going out, performing, you know, now it's like, can I please get on a plane? Can I please get in a hotel? Can I please get in front of a huge crowd? Can I, you know, it's one of those things. Can I please have an autograph signing session? Can I, you know, all these things that at once maybe we were taking a little bit for granted.
Totally. Everybody, you know, takes things for granted. And I kind of feel like, you know, this was like a thing, like God saying, hey, you guys are messing up, you know, and I need to chill you guys out for a little bit or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But I just know it's one of those things where, like, I feel like, you know, the earth needed to heal itself or something. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's weird. It's crazy. But then again, I feel like after this chapter, we're going to look back and say, man, you remember when we put puzzles together? Man, you remember when we just had game night? Man, you know, we just playing in the backyard and not even worry about an iPad, you know? Like, it's one of those things where I hope my kids are like, oh, you remember when we just stayed home forever?
I want to tell people, as hard as this is, and I've had my meltdowns, and you know, I think you saw the opening that I did with Drew McIntyre last week. It was hard. It was hard week, you know, with WWE, with all the releases, and then, you know, losing Howard Finkel the next day, That's when I recorded the interview. And I was just, I felt for you guys because, you know, I thought if anybody could get through this would be the WWE in its entirety.
I did too.
Right?
We all did.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly when they put out stuff saying, oh, we got this in the bucket and everyone's going to be all right and la-di-la-di-da. And next thing you know, there came the axe.
Yeah.
But then again, like, it's one of those things where, like, I mean, I'm thankful, man. I had 14 years there. So it's like, shoot. And I was never stupid with my money either. So it's one of those things where, like, I mean, like I said, I was a small country boy from West Virginia. They didn't have much at all. And then, you know, you start getting, you know, paid good. And I would never live above my means. Ever. You know, it's just one of those things. And then again, it's like, for me, I don't need much. You know, my family's all right. I got a nice truck. I'm good.
Yeah. But I tell you,
I thought you was going to laugh at the nice truck part. Didn't even give me nothing.
Nice truck? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's what you want.
Whatever. I think it's smart, though. That is one thing as far as, you know, what we do with our money. It's funny, though, because my husband and I, though, right before this, we dumped so much money into Chase and Glory. So we were like, oh, damn it.
It's going to come back around for you.
You know what?
You have a good soul, I'm telling you. It'll come back around for you for sure.
Oh, I needed that, Heath. Thank you. You know, we're very adamant at continuing the show. We think it's definitely helping people because of the reviews that we continue to get, people saying that it is impacting their lives, hearing stories from their favorite superstars, right? And how they gone through their struggles. And right now you're going through one, but I want to go back. Cause dude, I want to know you. I want to know you as a kid. I want to know you as a kid.
Man, I was trouble. I was 100% trouble, man. Like I don't want to say trouble. I want to say ornery. You know, I was very ornery, always getting into something. But then again, I would do something bad, but for some reason, I'd get away with it. Like, I'd talk my way out of it, or I don't know.
Like, oh, it's that little charm that you got.
It might be the Southern draw or something. I don't know. But it was just one of those things. Like, I was an ornery kid, always in sports and everything. Like, my dad left me when I was 2. My grandfather stepped in that role. My mom, she was, like Tupac said, she was a single woman on welfare. You know, tell me how she did it, you know? It's like, she's strong. And she showed me a lot of love and everything. And then, damn it, I knew this was going to happen. See, I've had kids. I get sensitive now.
It's okay.
The strings and the hearts, you know, grew a little long. I could watch a daggone Disney, you know, Moana made me cry. You know, it's like,
you know what, Drew and I talked about this last week because he definitely got emotional, but we talked about how important it is to send a message to men out there that it's okay
to cry.
Yeah. It's okay. If you got, seriously, for women, that's how we deal with our emotions. That's how, you know, getting it out. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been trained from very young age. Don't do it. Don't do it. It shows weakness.
Gotta
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Do you teach that to your kids?
No, not
like
at
it's
all.
Okay. But what I'm saying, do you teach it? It's okay to show your emotion.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, 100%. So I'm gonna give you permission right now. It's okay. I want to get to know you. We want to get to know your soul and your heart and what makes you tick and what gets to you.
I'm telling you, you're probably gonna find out. It's gonna happen. I already tell you. I feel it.
Okay. Good.
But yeah, so you know, no dad. Mom raised me. She did her best. She worked all the way till 5 o'clock every day. So I would leave school, go to my grandparents. My grandparents, you know, would, you know, fix me lunch and keep me until dinner. I usually had dinner with them. Then I get home and finish the rest of the homework I had. And then, you know, Groundhog Day all over again. It was just, that was like that all the way down, like pretty much high school for me. And, you know, so yeah, but then again, you know, I was ornery. I was like, I was getting in fights at school and everything like that because I was the only redhead and people wanted to pick on me, I guess. So, you know, I got in a fight with a bully, actually beat him up, you know, and it was like one of those things to where like he didn't mess with me again. So in my mind, I was like, well, shoot, if anyone messes with me, I'm just going to fight him, which is not the right thing to do. So, but no one really would mess with me, you know, until like, you know, high school, and no one, like, I was friends with everybody there. Like, I was just my own personality being me. But like, grade school up to junior high was a little rough for me, just because, I mean, I was different. You know, I had red hair. All I wanted to do was be a wrestler. And all I talked about was wrestling and like writing reports on wrestling, you know, and all this stuff. But I got in a few fights, and then that's when like a buddy of mine, his father boxed, and he was like, dude, come over here, get your frustrations out over here. You don't need to be fighting and getting in trouble. You know, you got to get good grades, you know, all that stuff. So I started boxing a little bit, and then that's what led into high school. No one really mess with me, you know, after that type deal, because people knew that my hands were okay at best.
Yeah.
But yeah, like all through my life, it was like, I always was loved. It was always, you know, do the right thing. You know, treat people the way you would like to be treated, you know, they always, you know, nailed that to me. And then, you know, I played sports my whole life, basketball, football, baseball. I mean, I even went to college to play basketball for a little bit at WVU's, like, junior team called Potomac State. So I played ball a little bit from there. And then next thing you know, when I lost that, I wanted to wrestle. So went back home, told my mom, like, Mom, you know, I flunked out. She's like, I know. My goodness, what was you thinking? You know, gave it to me. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I know, but I think I want to wrestle. She said, you got to be kidding me. Really? Wrestling? Like, come on. I understand there's like a dream and you want it, but my goodness, you had an opportunity here, you know. And then it was one of those things where, I mean, I'm a parent now. I'll probably do the same thing. What are you thinking? You know? But after that, I remember going to my grandfather, and he's the one that got me, like, watching it as a kid, going to these little indie promotions with 20 people there, watching it live, you know, had me by his side, like, everything, like, it's all his fault. I'm a wrestler, is what I'm saying. It's all his fault, 100%.
God bless your grandfather, seriously.
I know, right? He was one hell of a man, like, best man I ever met. But yeah, so I go to him and tell him, and he just hopped up out of his chair like, yeah, I'll support that. Like, okay, is that what you want to do? Let's do it. And my mom was like always that good daughter, did everything her parents said, all that stuff. So my grandfather talked my mom and like, get him ready, and let him do it. You know, time's wasting. He's only, you know, 20 years old or whatever I was at the time.
Yeah.
So from there, man, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and started a dream.
Wow. I love that. Holy cow. But let me take you back real quick, because I do want to know about this, because of the fighting and some of the interviews that I've done before where there's not, you know, the father present.
Yeah.
It seems to answer the question of where the fighting was coming from, like that inner pain from that.
Oh, I'm sure.
First of all, do you know why your dad left, and have you had any contact with him or anything like that?
Man, Lil, it's one of those things where, like, I know bits and pieces, but I don't know the real. Let me tell you a story. So, never knew who my dad was. This is how I found out who my dad was, actually. I was like 8 years old, maybe seven, eight. So every year there's like a little convenience store up the road from my grandparents, but Santa Claus would come, you know, so Santa would come, kids would go and see him, you know, the whole nine yards. And I remember I was walking in it's called Magic Mart, walking in the Magic Mart with my mom, going to see Santa, saw Santa, going to check out, and I looked down there's like register here, like three registers. He's at the first one. We went to the third one. And I looked, I'm like, Mom, that is Dr. Death Steve Williams. Like, that's Dr. Death Steve Williams, wrestler. Let's go talk to him, you know? And my mom is like, no, just stay here, no. I'm like, Mom, it's Dr. Death Steve Williams. Like, let's say hi. Let's get his autograph. And say you know, my mom like takes me out to the car. We get in the car, we're going. I'm like, Mom, why? You know, why? And my mom literally is like, that was your dad.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, Dr. Destiny Williams isn't my dad.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
my dad, look.
The way you presented it, I was like, wait, what is going on right now? Hilarious. I'm sure I'm not the only one who just thought that.
You're probably right. I'm thinking about the way I was saying it. No, my dad looked like Dr.
Oh, look like him. Whoa.
The beard, the hair, you know, big dude. Like,
oh, my God.
And I had no idea. I thought it was damn Dr. Destiny Williams.
Right.
And I just remember going back home and she's saying it was my dad. And I just was like kind of confused. Just confused about it. Yeah. And I'm just being like, what? Like, just, I'm still confused about it. Like, and I'm 36 now.
Right.
It's one of those things where, like, I don't know. I don't even think I asked questions. I don't know.
So that was it? You didn't see him anymore?
And last time I remember seeing him, I was in high school playing football, went to Subway. And I remember he was checking out of Subway, and me and my two buddies walked into the line. I just remember looking at him and just knowing. I'm like, that's him. I'm like, that's my damn dad, you know? And that's the last time I saw him.
But you didn't say anything to him?
No.
So you knew he was in the town, like, this whole time?
He's still there.
He's still there?
Like, the county over. Yeah.
Do you want to speak to him?
I knew it was coming.
Sorry. I hope you don't mind me asking. But, dude, there's probably a lot of people out there that are going through the same exact thing.
There is. I don't know. You want me to be honest?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things to where, like, all right, Heath Miller, the man. 36 years I've lived and never needed him. You know, did I want him? Of course. I didn't need him, you know. So now me being an adult, because, like, my mom said that they kind of just split when I was, like, two, three.
Okay.
My girls are 7 and 5. When they were 2, I still in my life could not even imagine not having a relationship with them. I don't know. So for him to not even try, which I don't even know the whole story behind all that. There's so many cracks in this, Lil. I could just go on for days. Like, it's like a shattered glass, you know? But no, it's like, I look at myself, I'm like, man, you grew up to be a good man. You know, you're doing your thing. You love your babies. It's not about you anymore, like me. You know, it's all about them. And I'm totally okay with that. But it's one of those things where, like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'd say to them. I don't even know what the first question I'd ask. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I guess because after 36 years and not knowing or not even, it's just rolls off like a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But then again, I feel like I got a big wall. It's like built to where, like, nothing's really going to get through it.
Mm.
You know?
And that holds you back in what way?
Knowing the truth.
Knowing the truth.
Because I don't know it.
Right.
And I would like to know his side. You know, I would like to know why. Like, you know, I would say, just sit down and talk to me, man.
Right.
I don't know.
You do know, though, that he has must. I'm not giving him permission or a way out of this or anything like that. People make their choices and they have responsibility. Trust me when I say this. Mm-hmm. You do know that he must be going through his own BS in his head to have walked away from that. And
probably,
who knows the struggle that he's even had. He might be so damn embarrassed by this point that he doesn't even see how he could even confront you.
Maybe. Or then again, he could be like me, just being like, it didn't happen. You know, it didn't work. He didn't try. I didn't try. Like, it's why bring it up? And then, like, I even got a sister. I have a sister. I don't even know.
Oh, wow.
She got kids. Don't even know.
And you don't want to reach out to her?
I don't even know, Lil. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like,
I get
for
it.
What? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just.
Well, you're protecting your heart, Heath. You're protecting your heart.
I think that's exactly what it is.
You don't want to be disappointed because you have been disappointed so much in your life with this. And you're seeing him in these spurts and all that kind of stuff. That, and then finding out the way you did, of course, that's a huge shock. So you're protecting your heart. You're protecting from more pain.
Probably.
I get that. You know what the beauty of it is, though, that you could have continued his pattern. Because who knows? I don't know. Do you know how his parents were with him? Okay.
I don't know anything. You know, the only thing I remember growing up was saying, I want to be a better dad than he was.
That's it. And you have been. And that is huge. When I had Titus O'Neill on here and he talked about how he came to be. I don't know if you and Titus have had conversations, have you?
Oh, yeah. I know his story. Yeah.
Okay. You know his story, right? But he could have turned around and been so bitter. And he did have those years, right? He had to get, he went to a boys club and all that to get corrected. But he could have been so bitter all those years, turned around and taken it against his kids, not been there for them. But instead, that man has turned his life around and been nothing but That's what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm trying anyway. He has the recipe down. he's great, man. And he is a hell of a dad. And his story with his mom is strong and moving. And he's a dear friend of mine, too.
Yeah. So is yours, Heath. So is yours. We don't get to pick necessarily how we grow up, the things that happen to us while we grow up. But it's what we do with what has happened to us, right?
Exactly.
It is that formula when they say 90% or 10% is what happens to us. 90% is how we react. Exactly. Your reaction from that was, I'm going to even be a better dad. And that's why I want the story out there. If anybody's in this boat, to not take it against your kids, not think that you have to continue that formula and you have to continue that pattern, that you can make a choice to change and be better.
Of course. And you have to for them. You know, it's I look at it like he had, like you said, he had a choice.
Right.
You know, I'm coming, you know, I'm born. He's there for a little bit. And he made the choice to, in my mind, just, I don't know the whole story, what happened between them. Of course, he's probably bickering and fighting, you know, who knows?
Right.
But, you know, he chose never to link back up. You know, he chose to not to reach out, you know. And I was a kid.
Right.
I'm a kid, you know. Like, I don't know how to, you know, handle life back then, you know. So it's like, I look at it as you can either see how you felt, you know, or feel the way you felt about how he did, you know, his way, which it was like leaving a son without a father, you know, leaving a son, you know, trying to find out how to be a man on his own, you know, because I was pretty much raised by women besides my grandfather, you know, but it's like one of those things where like, I have kids to where, my goodness, like they're the biggest joy in my damn life. You know, and I want them to grow up and live their dreams the way that I live my dreams, you know, like, and I'm going to do anything possible to make sure it happens,
right?
You know, and it's like, you know, all this craziness happened. Yeah, I lost my job, all that stuff, but I was burnt out, man, like burnt the hell out.
Yeah.
Fact. I knew it. Family knew it. My coworkers knew it. I was just burnt out. And it's like, you know, 14 years, 4 years developmental, 10 years on the road to where it's like you can be promised, you can be told, you can even have it in your hand and ready, and it just changes out drop of the dime, you know. And then it's one of those things like, you know, putting everyone over for 10 years would take a toll on somebody, you know, with confidence and, you know, your drive, your fire, you know, all of that. And it's like, my goodness, like, I do everything he asked. Like, I can't get a bone, you know, like that type thing. I went through those a lot. And I wish that would have took more control, you know, walking in there saying, why is this happening? Why are we doing this? Why can't we do it this way? I have 15 other damn great reasons why we could do it this way.
Right.
But why are we going that way? Which, you know, like, takes a toll on you a little bit.
Right, but you said something very key, that you wish you could have done or would have done what you could have done.
Exactly.
Zach Ryder said that same thing, because when Zach built that whole YouTube channel, he was one of the first, right?
He was the first. Pioneered this, man.
Yeah.
Right.
But when he built that, right? And then they took over that YouTube channel for him. And then he started seeing the decline of it. He said, I didn't go in to Vince and say, what is happening? Why is this happening? How do I stop this? What do you need me to do? He goes, I was so scared of that confrontation. Do you know what it was for you? Why you, is it you didn't want more disappointment? This is kind of tied where you're just so scared, you're guarded.
I think what it was in my younger days was the whole, but I did go in there and try to talk, and I did go in there and try to push, but they just, I heard no too many times, you know, to where I literally said, you know what, shit, I ain't gonna pitch no more shit, because when I do, it goes nowhere, or if I do pitch something good, they give to someone else, to where I'm just sitting there like, well, hello, like, come on now, like, it's just one of those things where, like, when you get tired of telling, hearing no, not for you, you can't do that, no, you kind of start believing, you know? You kind of start damn believing it. And then, like I said, getting fired, I really believe I needed this. You know, the times are crazy. The times are weird now because you can't go out and make money and all that stuff. But I really believe I needed this to get the fire, get the hunger, focus, you know, like I can honestly tell you that out of the last 4 or 5 years, besides me and Terry winning the tag titles, which was awesome little run, I have been so burnt out and just not even really caring.
Yeah.
To where this happened, to where I have to say thank you for lighting that fire for me again. You know, giving me that, oh, what? I'm gone so I can spread my wings and fly a little bit? You know, like, I thank WWE for every year I was there. Every damn year I was there, I thank them. Because, man, I went so many places I never even dreamed of ever going, you know? And it's just one of those things where, like, I made so much, like so many relationships with so many amazing people and like best friends too. Like, I mean, Drew's one of my best friends, like, period. Like,
yeah,
he was the second person to text me whenever I got released. So it's just one of those things where if I didn't work there all this time, I wouldn't have met or gone or experienced so many things. So, you know, so that part was amazing. But then again, you know, every job's like a relationship. You got your ups, you got your downs, but it's how you handle it.
Yeah. All right. So let's unpack a couple things there. Because I know that one thing people keep saying is, if you get a no, you keep going. And you get another no, you keep going. You keep trying it. But you're right. You get very tiring. Okay.
Yeah.
On top of, now that we know your story with your dad, now that we know that, I'm sorry, but you're human and that plays to your self-esteem. There is no way that you cannot let that in. The way that you found out the years later, knowing he's in the town, he's not reaching out, all these things are playing. So you're getting all these no's, then you've got your self-esteem from very early on. Of course, that's going to make it hard to penetrate. So you've got like Drew and Jinder that had the situation where they're let go, right? And then they turned it around. They saw it as a blessing. They turned it around for you, because I know that they both had said, come on, like even joked on the podcast when he was around the first time, come on, Heath, get in the gym and go face Brock Lesnar. Did you see yourself, you know, being 3MB, all of that, could you see yourself as champ while you were there?
Hell no. Hell no.
Why?
opportunities, man. I was there for a decade, a whole decade. Like this.
Yeah.
And I might have a, you know, a faction here, faction there. Man, I was in so many daggone factions too. Like I was always that little puzzle piece to a group,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. But I didn't see myself being champ. Why? Mentally, I wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't there. Period. Mentally wasn't there.
Okay. I love the fact that you're taking some responsibility on this, because that is the one thing that Drew talks about.
Totally.
How he could blame a lot on the company, but he realized, no, there are things that I wasn't doing.
100%. That's a fact. That's a fact. There's, I mean, come on. It's professional wrestling. You know,
right.
We all know it's predetermined, you know, and we know it hurts like hell. Period. You know, but it's one of those things that we're like, when I was doing the free agent thing,
mm-hmm.
like I would literally walk out with a mic through the crowd, interrupt things. And my goodness, I would just look and just see the people rise like, oh, he's here. Yeah. Come on, Slater, you know, and my goodness, it made you feel good, you know? And then the whole storyline for me with that free agent thing was like, let me prove myself. And then let me get up to the IC rank, you know, because that's
right.
The one title I've always wanted through thick
really?
And thin. That was my goal since I was getting a little foam toy belt of the IC title. And my mom's like, you don't want the world. I'm like, no, I like this one. You know?
Why?
I don't know. I think I liked the look of it as a kid, but then
yeah.
I started appreciating it for everyone in the past that held it. You know, all the greats. I mean, it was like, If you're the Intercontinental champ, you're moving up to world. That's
mm-hmm.
your next step, you know, boom. It's like, that's the one title I feel like all the greats actually held.
Yeah, Shawn
know?
Michaels comes to mind right away.
Oh, of course. Bret Hart, Rick
Bret
Rude,
Hart,
Mr.
Yep.
Perfect. You know, I
right.
mean, just the list just goes on. Piper, you know,
mm-hmm.
like just goodness. But it's one of those things like, I wasn't mentally ready. I wasn't even physically ready. I gave up in the gym too. And that's a fact. Like, why do you think I was wearing a tank top, you know, coming to the ring? Like, and wearing my shirt, you know? It's like, I wasn't really promoting it. It was, my goodness, I'm like hanging over a little bit right here. I don't know if I should put on my spandex, you know?
Right.
So, but no, hell no, no. I would say if, like, the way I'm feeling now, And I just want to see where I'm going to be 2 years from now. That's, like, where my mindset is. Because, like I was saying, I just have not been this motivated.
Mm.
And another thing, like, I've never, ever been outside of WWE. You know, I've never got to go to Japan.
Right.
Or Rico. I've never been to any other federation. No. Can we say them on here?
Yeah, of course we can.
You know, AEW, you know, is amazing, doing good stuff, good people over there. I like that. TNA, you know, doing good things. Like, I've never got to go to ROH. Has had so much good talent come out of there. NWA's, you know, even back up with their old school look. Like,
right.
There's so much cool things out there that you can do, you know, to where that's what excites me, to where, like, I want to dabble into some of this because I have never in my life done it.
Right.
You know? So it's like, this is like a new journey for me.
Yeah.
And then like all the other guys, you know, that you would see from, you know, either all the other companies come to WWE and they're just like, yeah, woo, we're here. You know? I was there since I was 21.
Right. So in one respect, it's a little bit like you taking that for granted because you don't know what to compare it to. Nothing negative.
No, it's positive.
Yeah.
This is positive because, like, man, I get to just kind of do what I want. You know, like, daggone, I just want to have some fun, work, entertain, shake my hips a little bit, whatever it is. Like, I'm excited. I really am.
Yeah,
and
I can see inspiring you.
I know. Thank you. Like, my wife even told me that. She was like, you're waking up smiling. You look like you're ready to, you know, attack the day. And I'm just like, I don't know what it is, but something's new in here.
It sounds like there's chickens in the background. Are there?
Come on, Lil. No, they're goose.
Oh, they're goose. I knew there was something. I'm like, what the hell am I hearing? We're in the boondocks.
No. Well, I got like this huge, like it's like a quarter of a lake that comes by my house. So, man, there's ducks, geese, swans, deer. Like, my kids will go down there and feed them, you know. So, I don't know if they're like trying to like man up each other. Like,
no, you know what's going on? They're feeling your energy. And right now, they're just like, yeah, buddy, preach. Because literally,
thank you.
Fired up, man, they're just like, yeah, we hear you. We got you. We got this.
They're on my side, man. They got my back.
Oh, man. No. But it is true.
All right, damn.
I feel this fire in you. I think that sometimes we need the reset. And like we talked about, the world is having a reset. And it's our choice right now to see it as a reset and get fired up for act two as to what we're going to be even post coronavirus and post our lives. But I think more than anything, I'm actually happy that you right now don't have the opportunity at this instance to go to Japan, to go to AEW, to go to Impact, to go to anything right now. I think you having this time at home is important, that's going to help you reset in a bigger way because you have been on the road for a really long time. And I know that because when I was on the road for 10 years and then I left and I left for two and I was off the road for those 2 years. I'm not saying be off the road for 2 years, Ben, but all I'm saying is, ooh, that did a lot for me where when I came back, I was refreshed.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you could tell too. I mean, you know, like you said, 10 years of traveling, hotel rooms, rental cars, like all the, overseas and back, just on the road for hours, you know, it takes a toll on you. Like,
right.
For sure. For real.
Right.
And then it's like when you get out there and you announce that's your fun time because you enjoy it. That's like us. We get 15 minutes in front of the people. And then next thing you know, it's just travel, you know? But that 15 minutes makes you keep wanting more.
Yeah.
Keeps you wanting going, you know? So.
We know what you're going to do physically, because I know that you're working out, all that kind of stuff. But what are you doing mentally to prepare yourself?
Life group with my people from my church, man.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, me and Steph Guiley, we've been going to this church called Life Point. Amazing people. And we started a life group, you know, with eight different couples. And I just love the fact that you can just be real and open with them, pretty much what we're doing now. But they have problems that I've been through.
Right.
And I can help them. And then I have problems that, you know, they've been through, you know, and they can help me with it, you know, and stuff like that, to where, like, I got a good circle now, and it's just, I don't know. I kind of just, I feel a nice peace a little bit.
Well, I think that's exactly why I've been really trying to get the message out to people that it's okay to tell your story. It's okay to talk about things that have happened to you. I'm the first one that, you know, talked about being bullied or my eating disorder or whatever I've been through, because hopefully that story can help somebody out there. Right. And I mean, that's what we have to be here on this earth to help each other out.
Oh yeah.
I want to say though, if you don't mind me pointing this out to you, until you deal and be able to maybe even forgive your dad, which I know is really hard to do, but until you deal that whatever the way he acted has nothing to do with you. And I know that's hard to say, but dude, his choices have nothing to do with you. He's in his own head, his own mess, his own whatever. Until you can deal with that, you're never going to feel worthy enough to then go for that grand title. And that's why I think even the words from Drew and the words from Jinder, that both, they turned their lives around, they became champions, and then going, come on, Heath. They didn't penetrate, because until you feel worthy, it's not going there.
Very true. I don't know.
Can I just tell you, Heath, though, you're such an amazing guy. So many people see your value. So many people see your heart. That is the number one thing. But I will say this too. I don't think, and this is something that Titus and I talked about, you know, he kept saying, I got to be champ. I got to be champ to feel like I am somebody. right? Yeah. And then he's never become champ. And when I mean champ, I'm talking about, you know, WWE champ, right? Because I know you've been a 4-time tag team champion, which I think is amazing. But what I'm saying with him, he realized then, I think it was a year later, he was doing all this charity stuff. And then he goes, you know what? I realized that I was putting a lot of emphasis on that, and I can be a champion in many other ways.
Yeah, sure.
And do you realize that? Do you notice that? Do you see that? Do you feel that?
I do, yes. But I think it's funny because my steps with them shining light, man. She has been like not pushing me, but like signing me up to like talk to kids, do this and do that. And she's I'm always like, really, babe? Why didn't you talk to me before? She's like, I know you're gonna love it, enjoy it, and your story is gonna inspire them, you know. And then once I get there in front of them, I'm just, you know, having fun, talking with them, all that stuff. My goodness, do you feel good? Like, and like, they're just so just drawn into you. Yeah. And it's like you can't mess up. You know, it's like you tell your story, you encourage them. And then it's like with me and my story, like I'm serious, like a single mother, no father, little town in West Virginia where honestly dreams don't come true. You become a coal miner or you hopefully go to college and do something great.
Right.
You know, I feel like knowing that in your mind and heart what you want and you can't fail at it will take you, confidence will take you a very long ways.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I had when I was on my journey to becoming a wrestler was that confidence of I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
You know, and I feel that now. Like, it's going to happen again. I know.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Do you feel like you need to become champion? Like, do you want, is that something you really want?
I mean, I could be champ once, you know, why not? You know, but
okay.
Like I said, man, like, I enjoy wrestling. I enjoy my entrance music hitting. Me walking out, feeling the people, you know, I enjoy the entertainment aspect more than anything. I mean, look at all the crazy shit that I did in WWE, you know,
my goodness. Yeah.
But like, I feel like if I would ever go back, I would definitely want to fulfill my first goal that I didn't fulfill this time was I want that IC title.
Man. IC title. Okay. That's the one that I think you should definitely go for. That's the one that I think will totally mean something. And I think in this world, just because somebody wants to be WWE champion doesn't mean that everybody should. I know it's kind of weird. And I know I'm saying something that maybe is even Drew said, if you're not striving to be WWE champion, why are you here? And I think people can have different goals in their lives.
Everybody's different. Everyone has different goals.
Yeah.
Imagine when I achieved my first goal, the one I really want. I'm always going to have to set another one.
Yeah.
So why not?
Right.
Hopefully I'll get to meet Drew up there one day.
And here's the thing is that I also feel like with you, because you have so many kids and being WWE champion is very, very demanding. Yep. And the schedule's very demanding. And I always said, maybe he just wants balance in his life, and that's okay.
It is. You're right. And I do. And I do, you know, because, I miss so much. Like, I miss so much being on the road with them growing up. Birthdays, Christmases, Halloweens, dance recitals. Like, I mean, I was in Europe, and my first daughter, Roz, I had to watch her walk on FaceTime. You know, so, you know, like, there was a lot taken toll, like, you know, just the family. And then what I started doing later on, because, like, I would take my frustrations from work home. Mm. And it was weighing on her. And that was wrong of me to do. I should have cut it off at the door and said, you know what, I ain't even worry about this shit.
Right.
But it was one of those things where, like, man, when you're in it, you're in it. You know, and
yeah,
that's your life.
It can consume you.
100%.
It consumes you. It literally starts becoming your identity. And when things aren't going well, you forget that it's a storyline.
Very true.
You allow it to define you. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people are doing. and wish what I hope a lot of people in their mind would change, because I won't let that happen to me again. I ain't going to let it happen, because it did. It took over me.
Yeah.
And I want to say anybody that works a job that they love, they will let that happen to them, because they're in it. They want to stay in it, you know, all that stuff, and be the best at it.
Yeah.
But my goodness, it gave me some gray hair.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have the luxury of leaving on my own as well when my dad got sick. And at first I was so upset, because I'd spent 15 years. It was becoming my life and my identity. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you know what? There'd be no Chasing Glory.
That's true.
That's helped so many people. And I have even a bigger voice now. And I still get to announce, you know, whenever I go back to WWE or PFL or something like that. So I still get to do my thing. But now this has become something so beautiful. And I know that that's exactly what your 2.0 I'm so excited about. Because I see a fire. I just, there's something really cool. But I want to say something to you. Two things I want to. Number one, I'm starting to feel like maybe your story is a little bit similar to Renee Young. She had a hard upbringing as well, a lot of fighting and stuff like that early on. So she started getting comedy as a relief for her in her life. When you ask, I know we didn't really unpack the fighting, but I'm assuming that was a little bit of your soul being upset with everything with your dad. And
of course.
Right. It's probably. Like you're, you know, taking it out and all, just trying to express yourself. And you guys don't get told that it's okay to cry, like we just said earlier. So you get told it's okay to fight and express it that way. And right. But the comedy part of it, or your personality, I don't know, could it be a thing where you just, life was kind of heavy, and so you chose that, like Renee, to lighten up?
Honestly, maybe. But then again, it's like one of those things where, like, if I hurt, I laugh instead of saying, like, cry. Like, I don't know if it's a defense mechanism or what it is. Like I love tattoos, you know, as you can see.
Yeah.
But they hurt.
Right.
You know? And I'm sitting there like, oh, but I'll be like, you know, like just laughing about it. And people are looking at me like, damn, this dude's nuts. He's like laughing. But then deep down inside, I'm just like, oh, ow, you know?
Wow.
So I laugh a lot. Like, I really do. Like, you know this. Like, I like to be a funny dude and everything. But maybe that is, like, an easy shield for me. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, because you said it. You don't like to. You put up that wall because you don't like to feel the pain. So what's the, you know, the switch on that is, let's laugh because it feels better.
Totally. But probably.
You know what? I'm actually thankful. I'm not saying, dude, that I want this to have ever happened to you or any other kid.
Yeah.
But in a way, because that's happened to you, it's made you who you are.
Totally.
And you are such a positive person and you love to laugh, that you exude that in the world. And I always know that when I came across you, I was just like, hey!
Always.
You always make me feel so good, right? Yeah. So you left an impression on me every single time. So I'm grateful for that. So I want to use that, cherish that.
I'm going to do my best anyway. It hasn't left yet, so I just keep trying to build it up, so, you know.
Yeah. I was saying, Santino Marella is another one that is so awesome. He leads you in such a good way. So
totally.
I think it's important to have people like you guys that are also have that comedic. Do you want to keep doing that in your wrestling, or do you see, like, is it one of those things that you just want to be Sirius Slater or Heath, or what are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot, being honest, but I look at it as, and I've been talking to like my close friends about this too. It's like, I always had to play a role, you know, if it wasn't a Nexus rebel going in, beating up everyone, switching to the core, kind of the same, but watered down. Then I'm a rock star in a one-man band singing on television with this voice. Come on.
Yeah, but it was and good. It was
so entertainment, good. You know, it's so entertainment. And then like 3-on-B, like it's funny with 3-on-B. Drew, spectacular athlete. Gender looks amazing, you know, and they put us all together. And we became this air guitar, and I don't even know, like, we 2 years of us traveling the road together, booked on everything, you know. And it's like, here we are, air guitar and being rock stars. And then they got released, and then I was just lost, you know. I remember mm-hmm. going to Carano being like, why didn't I get fired? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm yeah. confused. And then me being in that band, 3 on B, 2 years. And then you're just, your buddies are gone. Right. You're standing alone. And I'm like, what do I do? You know, like, do I change myself again? Do I, like, I was lost for like a year up there, just head spinning, you know?
Right.
And then that's when they put me back in Factions. Oh, here's Heath. He'd be a puzzle piece in this group and this and that. And then whole Free Agent. And then the whole I Got Kids. Like, I live in a trailer park with 30 kids. Like, come on now. Like, what in the world? Like, just because I have a damn accent, you know, I'm white trash trailer park with all these kids. Like, come on. Like, why can't I be like Kid Rock? You know,
right,
like, something
right.
like that. You know, I don't know.
Right.
And then it was like, I always had to play a role, you know. I just want to be my damn self.
I love it. That's what's going to work.
Dang, like, if I feel like I want to come out being a badass, I'm going to let me be a badass. I'm going to come out like, dude, I'm pissed, you know? If I want to shake my hips and be funny, I'm going to do it, you know? It's like one of those things where, like, I don't have the restrictions anymore
yeah.
to where, you know, don't do this, don't do that. I'm like, yeah, but I think they would love it, which they probably would have. But it's like, now I don't have to say or hear, don't do this, don't do that. It's, I'm going to do it if I feel it, sorry.
Yeah.
You know? That's where my mindset is. Wherever this path of life takes me next, I'm just going to be myself, and I'm going to try to knock home runs everywhere I go.
You know, I always end my podcast saying, remember to always be yourself and trust that it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I say that, because when you are yourself, dude, that's when you're really going to shine.
Yeah.
And I see it. I 100%, because you are enough, Drew. You are enough in the fact that you exude so much personality. It's not like you have to create this persona because you're bland.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You already, that's the thing, that you don't need help in wrestling and you don't need help in mic speaking. Holy cow. Yeah. That's huge. You're all around. Yeah. And then you've got the personality. Then you also have the dependability. You're a good person. I mean, dude, you are a top, top person. You are a, what they call, what, 5-triple-dipple, I know triple is 3, but they say what, the triple threat? You're more than triple threat.
Damn right, Lily.
Yeah, baby, yeah. All right, tell me, baby. As we wrap this thing up, I want to ask you, though, because I know that you're homeschooling kids.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, my goodness, dude, my goodness, like, yes. The teachers 100% does not get the credit they deserve. They do not get paid enough. Like, I mean this. Like, my girls are in second and kindergarten, and there's some things that I'm like, oh, shoot, what is this? You know, this is second grade. You know, imagine if I was on that show, are you smarter than a fifth grader? No.
No.
I would embarrass myself bad. But thank God my girls are smart and clever and pay attention. You know, that's
they're teaching you.
Dude, it's like I am relearning. Like, that, all that knowledge I had way back here is coming like front now to where
yeah.
I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. You know, like, it's just, I'm not kidding. Every parent out there, moms, dads that are homeschooling their parents, trust me, I am with you.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand. It's crazy, but you got to get through it. Keep pushing, you know.
I just talked to Trish Stratus about this. She and I were having a long conversation. She's like, Lil, every 2 seconds I'm like Googling for the freaking answer. I don't know what
it's
the hell
truth.
This is. She goes, my kid's like 6 years old and I don't know what the answer is.
I'm with you, Trish. I'm with you, girl. I know. I'm the same way. I'm on Alexa.
What's the capital of Washington?
Exactly, right?
Oh,
I'm
my God.
I'm not kidding. It is rough. But then again, I'm spending quality time and watching my kids grow.
Yeah.
So.
That's and you're going to be smarter.
Exactly, right? I am.
You're going to be so much smarter.
I'm going to come back smarter, bigger, better.
I love it.
Oh, man.
I love it. All right. So I want you to tell us here as we finally close this up. I love talking to you, Heath. I want to do one once you're, you know, back on the road, once all of this is over, once you found your new home, once you've been in it, I want to get the 2.0 version of Chasing Glory get what the other side now is going to look like with the new birth of and I guess you're gonna have to change your name.
I would be like Heath is my real name.
I know that, but Slater, yeah, you're gonna have to
there's some trickery that we can do, but then again, I don't know. I might just want to go by just Heath.
Okay.
Just
hey.
You know?
Hey! Making his way to the ring. Heath.
Boom. There we go. How's that sound? Pyro's coming off, you know. I'm walking down, slapping hands. I can see it now, man.
I can see it now, too. My God, it's going to feel so good just to get back in front of a crowd again, too.
Tell me about it. That's a fact. That's a fact. And, you know, we're people, like people persons and everything. So it's like, I want to see them. I want to say hi. I want to shake hands. Or maybe elbows now. Is that a new thing?
Yeah. I think it's elbows and waves.
Waves. Hi. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah. So, You're a kid looking at your life. Has your chase for glory looked the way you thought it was going to look?
I want to say it's been better, being honest, just because growing up, all I wanted to do was wrestle. That was just all I wanted to do. I never thought I was going to really get to WWE and like stay for 14 years, you know, but it was one of those things where like you bust your ass, you got a goal. You set yourself and you accomplish it. It's one of those things where like, I feel like my run and my age now to where like I started young, accomplished my goal. There's goals inside of that goal that I didn't get. But then again, that's another story. But all in all, I did what I said I was going to do. So yeah, I can say that I'm happy. But then again, I'm 36. So I still got a few more years, I think.
Yes. That's going to, your continued chase for glory is going to be amazing. I know it.
Well, always got to chase it.
Got to go for it. Yeah.
You got to.
Tell everybody how to find you on social media and so that they can get your new t-shirts too.
Well, social media, I still get the same tags. Heath Slater Overmore B on Twitter and Heath Slater underscore XXII on Instagram.
What's for the XXII? Yeah, I don't know what the significance.
That number has been in my life for so many reasons.
22.
That's the day I met Steph, the day we got married. It's the day I got signed when John Laurinaitis told me. Yeah, my grandfather passed on the 22nd. I remember it was some title we won. The tag title, I think, was on the 22nd. There's a lot of 22 has been just a number in my life for like, I don't know how long. And it just meant something to me. Dang, you got it out of me. So many people asked me about that. And I never said it.
Really?
And here I am just talking to you.
Yes. We got the exclusive here. I love it.
You really do.
It's recorded. It's recorded.
Oh, dude. Everybody has been like, dude, what's the,
Uh-oh. No, well, we can still hear you. So there we go.
Oh, okay. There we are. a lot of people all my tattoos, man, they got a story, you know? So it's like, everyone always was wanting to know that. I never, ever said it. And then you got it. Hey,
thank you. Is that bad?
Did
you want to keep it a secret for some reason?
No, everyone asked. I just was like,
Now just say, if anybody asks again, go listen to Chasing Glory.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. It's on Chasing Glory.
It's on Chasing Glory, dude. I don't want to keep repeating it. I love it. Well, then you're going to have to come back on the 22nd of whatever month.
2 years from now.
No, you're not going to wait 2 years to come back. I don't give you permission for that. We need heat way sooner.
But it would be cool.
Yeah, but it would be cool to have you come back on the 22nd of one of these months coming up or whatever.
When, you know, life will take you in that path. So, you know, the 22nd, if you're recording one day and, you know, let's do it.
Yes. All right. Well, again, congratulations. And I say congratulations because this has given you a new birth and that's always great. I love the way that you are changing this into a very positive thing. Good luck with quarantine and quarantine parenting and quarantine teaching.
Oh.
You're going to be now even stronger, passive. It's going to be like wrestling is easy.
Exactly. I got kids, man.
Oh, I love you dearly. All right.
Yeah, I love you, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here on Chasing Glory and listening to the episode. But now you can go watch the episode by going to youtube.com/Lillian Garcia. It's very simple. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And right now, go ahead and share the episode with a friend. Follow the show at Chasing Glory on Instagram, at Lillian Garcia on Instagram and Twitter, and Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook. And of course, for everything Chasing Glory, just go to chasingglory.com. Until next week, much peace, love, and passion. And remember to always be yourself and trust that it's enough. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for joining us here on Chasing Glory from executive producer Lillian Garcia. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends and be sure to subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.